Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello there, McCarja. It's Gary Somerville, episode 67 of Paddy Pigskin. How are you? It's Super Bowl week, so naturally we're going to do a Super Bowl preview show. Even though we've been a little bit quiet this season, got to do a show for the biggest game of the year. San Francisco 49ers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. I have Jer back in with me, braving the cold Boston tundra. Although it's not too bad. It's only about -2, -3. A couple of weeks ago, it was down to -20, which will really freeze the bollocks off you. So myself and Jer, we're going to chat about some TB12 stuff first. A lot of talk about where he's going to end up. Is he going to stay with the Pats or is he going to go elsewhere as free agency looms for Tom Brady? And then we're going to chat about the big game, who we think is going to win and why, and just general storylines really that are coming up with this game. Two very high octane teams going at it down in Miami. It's going to be a great one. Hard to pick, but we'll do our best to dissect the matchup on this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Say congratulations, work so hard, forgot how to vacation, they ain't never had the dedication, people hate and say we're changing, look we made it, yeah we made it. Our episode 67 player dedication is Bob Kuchenberg, offensive guard. He was born in Gary, funnily enough, Indiana, the same town as Michael Jackson, in 1947, and he played his high school ball in Hobart, Indiana. He attended Notre Dame, where he played both O-line and D-line, before being drafted by Jer's Philadelphia Eagles in the fourth round of the 69, nice, draft. Actually quit the NFL after training camp in his first year, joined the Chicago Owls of the Continental Football League. He then said, fuck that. In 1970, he was back in the NFL, signing with the Miami Dolphins as a free agent. The rest is history for his career. He went on to play 15 seasons as a Dolphin, went to 3 Super Bowls, won 2 of them. Super Bowl 7 in a 14-7 win over Washington. This is the famous 1972 team, of course, that went undefeated. And then the following year, he won again, Super Bowl 8 in a 24-7 win over the Vikings. Pretty impressive honors list. 6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first team All-Pro, 1 second team All-Pro nod. He's in the Miami Dolphins honor roll, and a lot of people say he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think he's made it to the semifinals a few times, but he hasn't gone in yet. And he started 176 games in the NFL, a shitload of pancake blocks, and he has 6 fumble recoveries. So episode 67 player dedication, Bob Kuchenberg, offensive guard. And I'm actually going to do a small bonus episode dedication. This man isn't a player, but I thought it was fitting that I should include him because I found out a couple days ago that he passed away. His name is Jason, and if you're wearing a Paddy Pigskin hat or you've seen a Paddy Pigskin hat on any of the social media channels, my man Jason was the man that made them, and he worked in Lids, which for anyone that's been to America knows that Lids is a very big hat or cap store. They're all over America, and anytime I needed a few hats made up, Jason was always there. No pun intended, but at the drop of a hat, he would always do his best to get a few Paddy Pigskins made up as quick as he could so he could give them away or people that were looking to buy them. Just a lovely fella. Supported the Dolphins, funnily enough. Player dedication this week is a Dolphin, and me being a Giants fan, anytime I was in the shop, we always had a bit of crack about football, normally at the expense of the New England Patriots. He was a bit of a shit talker as well. So, found out there he passed away in the middle of last year. And I only realised when I went into the shop there recently to get a new batch of Paddy Pigskin hats. And he wasn't there to do them up for me. So, a little bonus dedication for this episode. Shout out to my man Jason Lids in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thinking of you, buddy. If you are what you say you are, yeah, yeah, a superstar, then have no fear, the camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know, oh, oh, oh,
the return.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar,
cheer, and the lights are on, and they wanna show.
Bit of Lupe fiasco there, and I have Gerard O'Leary. How's it going, Ger? How are you?
Doing well, you?
Grand, your phone was just, as I was preparing my drink for tonight's episode, your phone started buzzing there with some, it's a cryptic tweet from Tom Brady, which is going to lead nicely into the show, because we're going to be chatting about it. But what was he? I haven't seen it now. But he's
like, clearly bored because he's not in the Super Bowl, so he's sitting at home when he's like, how can I make it about me not be in it?
Of course, yeah.
But he little cryptic tweet there, little picture, black and white, standing in the entrance of a tunnel, looking into an empty field, empty stadium, but you don't know if he's walking backwards or he's walking frontwards.
Nice.
No text associated with it.
Yeah.
Just
classic, just leaving it open-ended. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. There's going to be people interpreting both sides.
The picture says 6:36 p.m., so we're over 2 hours late to this. Like, the media is just going off on it now, so.
Unless, did that screenshot come from someone on Central Time or something?
Well, that possibly could have. I'll just check Brady's thing.
We're checking right now.
Nope, two hours ago.
2 hours ago?
Yeah.
Jesus, we're fucking slow to the party here. Anyway, it's...
Giselle commented with a wee love heart and a kissing heart emoji, you know?
Tiamo or all that bollocks that they talk on each other's posts.
So, yeah.
There's no clues in the story to where he is, no?
Nope, nothing at all.
I'll see if he's hanging around TV12 Centre now at the weekend. When I go and get the bollocks knocked out of me in my Saturday morning class. So I've got a little, because you're not on the beer, because you're on your keto buzz, aren't you?
Yeah.
I've never done it. So like, how does it, like, I've gone through eating healthy phases.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then there comes a time where I'm just driving along and I'll just fucking pull into a McDonald's and have about fucking £6 worth of food, you know, and ruin all the hard work. But you've...
£6 or 60 quid?
£6.
Okay.
You can get a fair bit for £6 off the dollar menu.
That's fair.
But you've done it a few times, like, haven't you?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
How difficult is it?
Well, again, there's different levels to it. You know, there's like keto, standard, and then there's people that like are literally counting to the macro.
Yeah, yeah.
In the number of carbs. But you generally try to go 75% of your diet be fats, 20% proteins, 5% carbs. So you want your body then to start burning your fat as your energy fuel.
So if you're lifting and you're doing... This is something I never thought about. Mm-hmm. What if you're lifting?
Mm-hmm.
If you're lifting heavy and you're also doing keto, like how does your body build up muscle tissue?
Someone last year, one of the guys we play football with, who's a heavy lifter.
Oh, Jesse. Yeah.
Jesse.
Fucking animal of a man.
He was saying you'd be better off lifting weights than doing cardio training on it, you know, especially because we were playing football every week.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be fucking bollocks after it, you know, I'd have no energy, be falling asleep at the 1 o'clock games. So, yeah.
Knows his shit. He does know his shit. He's mad proper into the science.
But yeah, I'm just doing it, just trying to cut the weight down. And then I'll start lifting heavy again sometimes. But, you know, like you could do what Tyson Fury said. He'd done the dirty keto, you know, where he was just eating, again, cheeseburgers without the bops or anything, you know, just cheeseburgers, sausages, eggs, and bacon the time. And then he'd train for like 3 hours a day for his upcoming fight with Wilder before he lost all the weight. As he was losing all the weight, but two fights before Wilder. But again, that's a dirty key. That's not good for you either. Mm. Just constantly eating hamburgers or cheeseburgers and.
But they're just looking to bacon and crash, eggs. Like crash diet, lose weight quickly for their fight, right?
Well, this was
not thinking like long 20
well,
years.
Yeah, well, this was him, I suppose, wanting to get down to a weight. Because if you remember after his last fight, well, when he ballooned to over 400 pounds, you know, was just doing coke every day and all this shit.
Some fucking comeback.
So he came down to what? He lost 150 pounds in a year or something. Oh my God. So he'd done it like just.
And he overcame the mental demons as well because he was going through a lot of
I'd
shit.
I'd say he
there.
Still has them, you know. Yeah, he's keeping them at bay at the minute. But again, it's a good diet. Joe Rogan does it 2 or 3 times a year.
Mm.
But it's not something you want to do, I think, long term. But you got some cracking meals on it, you know. Cheeseburger casseroles, chicken broccoli, just don't have your ziti.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of meals there. Like I make my own bread.
Mm.
So it's grand, you know. It's depressing because... You're throwing your body into that. Your mind's just like, I know I can't have carbs, and you want food you don't want that you would never eat.
Yeah,
I was at fucking breakfast the other day, and this kid came in, and I was speaking to him, and I was getting 2 eggs, and he opened up his box, and he had a couple of waffles in there, and he was pouring syrup over his waffles, and I just never eat waffles at work, you know.
Yeah, she had chicken and waffles for lunch today. Would
like,
you believe?
Jesus, I'd love that right now, you know. And then I went out to lunch that day with a couple of colleagues, and on the menu was chicken and waffles with like sausage gravy. I was like, oh my lord! and had to settle for my fucking steak tip salad, you know.
Yeah, I actually go to about once a week. There's a timeout market. They're popping up everywhere, but they've got a timeout market now at Fenway.
Oh, really?
And me little weekly treat now is I pop in there and they do like a real nice, it's like a fried chicken and waffles with a bit of maple syrup.
The best chicken and waffles I've ever had is in Lucy's in Dorchester. Lucy's American Tavern. Hands down the fucking best.
I've heard they're pretty good. Right. After that long-winded explanation about our diets, so you're not on the beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having a whiskey. I always say, I'll never drink Jameson. I will never drink the just plain Jameson. This is the Jameson Cask Mates edition. So it has that little stouty finish to it.
Not a proper 12, anyway.
It's not a fucking proper 12. It's also a little bit healthier because there's like a little bit of water in there. Anyway, Tom Brady, he's probably going to dip his feet in the free agency market. And I think that is on the end of the last day of the 2019 season.
It's the beginning of March, is it, or something?
I think it's March 18th is when the season finishes, yeah. And then he becomes a free agent. So he had that two-year extension, but that's going to be voided now unless mm-hmm. they come up with a deal. And he was going to be getting paid $30 million, I think, this year and $32 million the following year. So now if they can't come to an agreement, mm-hmm. they can't put the franchise tag, can't put the transition tag on him.
This is the first time he's ever gotten to this stage in his career.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting. What do you think is going to happen to TB12?
It's. I would love for him to leave and just stick it up to all the Patriot fans, but then go see him do well somewhere else and laugh at them. You know,
is this another head over heart kind of decision?
But then at the same time, where is he going to go? You know, like that's out there. That's good. You know, people have talked about the Chargers, but their old line's worse than the Patriots. So why would he go there? I tell you though, the Raiders would be hilarious considering his career started against the Raiders with the fumble rule.
Oh yeah!
If he ended his career with them,
oh wow! I was just looking up out of curiosity. You know, Vegas are pretty good with this sort of shit about where the player is going to end up. I just wanted to look at some of the odds. So, firstly, whether he's going to be a Patriot or not, yes, he will be a Patriot is -300, or one to three to one on for mm-hmm. our Irish friends. No, he won't be a Patriot is +200 or 2-1. So it's decent. Like,
is it 1-2 now?
No, 2-1.
So how's -300 3-1 and +200 2-1?
3-1 on, which is
no, that's 1-3 and that's 2-1.
Yeah, but when you say 3-1 on, it's actually the opposite. I'm fucking doing horse racing, okay. Leading jargon here. Other teams, so you mentioned the Chargers, they're the favourites, +200. Cowboys +700.
Why would they be even in the race? I don't know.
Raiders +700. Colts, I just picked the top six, or be here all night. Colts +800, Panthers +900, and the Bucks. Apparently, the Bucks is gathering a little bit of steam. There's a few stories popped up there today about the Bucks could be a sleeper because they've got their two weapons there. Like, probably, would you say? I mean, they finished both top five in receiving leaders this year.
It'd be interesting now, that's for sure.
Like, it's a serious tandem. And even like OJ Howard's a pretty good tight end. They're apparently a sleeping giant in Landon Brady, but when you think about like where is he gonna go, like what's he gonna be looking for? You said great O line. The thing is now with the Pats, like they don't know if Dave Andrews is gonna be back at their center. Mm-hmm. Remember he had the blood clots, so they had Karras, I think, was playing center.
Mm-hmm.
Also, big move, Dante Scarnecchia, their offensive line coach, gone. So it's like, what sort of condition is the offensive line?
Did he leave or did he retire?
I think he just retired. The guy is fucking 80 or something. Like, he's been with the Pats a long time. So there's uncertainty with the O-line there again with
and
the
then
Patriots.
You got the, I'm blanking on the guy's name, the left tackle from Georgia they drafted.
Isaiah Wynn.
That's been injured 2 years in a row now.
Yeah. I mean, he started to look, when he eventually took the field, he started to look decent, but like, you don't know with an Achilles if that goes again or how he's going to hold up.
One of the worst offensive linemen, you're constantly, when pass blocking, constantly just going back on it and having big men push on you.
So he's going to look for a good O-line.
Yeah.
Passing weapons, which I guess that ticks the box when you're looking at the Buccaneers. It's like they have two absolute fucking ballers on the outside. So he's going to look for, you know, somewhere where he can actually get the ball because he had Edelman.
Yeah.
When Edelman finally got found out and he was getting double covered, like, they had fucking nobody else really. Harry was injured most of the year. Then there were other two guys, like Dorsett, MIA, fucking Jacoby Myers, another undrafted rookie. Like, not many to choose from there. No tight ends. Ben Watson's going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So he must be saying to the Pats, look, you have to guarantee me that there's going to be weapons coming in there, either in free agency. But that's the thing, like, he's going to be a free agent himself. So
yeah,
if they don't get the guarantee to him before free agency, look, we're going to improve. We're going to get playmakers in. Do you blame him for wanting to look elsewhere?
No, but then again, he's also talking about not taking a hometown discount now.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many playmakers can you get in?
Yeah.
When your QB is going to be looking for top money.
Because if he was supposed to be getting 30 million this year and 32, like, what mm-hmm. the fuck is he going to be asking for? But at this point, I think he's obviously just looking for another ring, right? Does the money really matter to him that much? He's made his millions. No, he's got TV 12. He doesn't need
money. His missus makes 100 million a year. Yeah. Like,
they're not struggling financially. Which, you look at some of the teams, there's kind of like, there is a lot of sense to why the Chargers would be one of the top. Like, he's from California. His family are all out there. They've got playmakers. The offensive line, like you said, needs improvement. But, like, they've got Keenan Allen
mm-hmm.
on his day, maybe top five receiver in the league.
Yeah.
They've got two good running backs that do a lot of different stuff between Eckler and Gordon. Hunter Henry, when he's on his day, he's probably
I think he could be a free 10. Agent as well this year.
Who?
Hunter Henry.
Really?
I think so. He's been here like 4 years now.
Is he? 4 years already? Well, he lost all of last year because of his ACL.
Yeah.
So he's either in going into year three or year four. Yeah.
I heard someone say, because I was bumming on him with Hunter Henry there.
Jesus.
And then I think I heard someone say that he would be a free agent. I'll just check it here.
I'm sure if we're wrong about this, Paul Grau is going to be correcting us. No, he's not a fucking free agent. We're not losing him. And then the defense, like, they've got a lot of playmakers on the defense as well. So really, the only thing missing there, would you say, is just the offensive line.
Yeah.
If they can bring one or two studs in there in free agency or draft, you know, with one or two of their first draft picks,
mm-hmm.
like, that's an attractive option by Brady.
Yeah.
Back on the West Coast, has a good chance, you know, moving on from Phillip Rivers. He's already fucked off down to Florida or whatever it is.
Yeah, Tallahassee.
Tallahassee. So, like, it makes a lot of sense. But after that, have you got a team... We mentioned the Buccaneers, you mentioned the Chargers. There you
go. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2020, Hunter Henry. Because he's third round, so he's only a four-year contract.
That 4 years is flown, boy.
$6 million they paid him.
He's had injury concerns as well.
Mm-hmm.
So outside those teams, where would you be looking at anywhere else that makes sense that he would go there?
Wow. He'd go Bears because you need to find another QB.
Mm.
But
and Trubisky's had surgery on his labrum,
right? He's a lot of shite as well. But you've got a narrow window with all the talent that you've got there at the minute, and you just need a quarterback to get you over the line. So go there, draft a QB in the second round, maybe. Have Brady just sit behind Brady for a year. You could be doing well there.
I'm actually interested to see the odds.
I'm just trying to get there. It's like they don't have that many years left with all that talent that's on the team. Before
see.
They start getting priced out of it. Who else is there?
The Bears are... where are the Bears? They are... Wow. They're like one of the lowest.
Really?
Plus 2,500.
Well, Ryan Pace, I think, is the GM there. Like, he's really put his nuts on the line. Back in Trubisky, like...
This is actually funny enough. This is the DraftKings sportsbook odds. It's plus 2,000. Yeah, plus 2,500 for him to go to the Bears. Interesting. But you just never know where his head is at. He could view things very differently to us.
Imagine Brady to the Saints, Breeze to the Patriots.
What do you think Breeze is going to do? Because it sounds like he's strongly considering retirement, but he's just been so close.
Is it a negotiating tactic?
Yeah.
Because, like, Breeze is free, Teddy Bridgewater is free.
And now you're hearing all this.
Taysom Hill.
Now you're hearing all these reports. They think Taysom Hill's their franchise quarterback and all. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you just don't know what sort of PR is being put out. Like,
yeah, like Taysom's camp's probably throwing it out there, you know, to get those rumors swirling. But you think about it, in the last game they had against the Vikings, Breeze done nothing.
Mm.
It was all Hill. Any scoring or movement all came from him.
Ultimate Swiss Army knife, like, that guy.
And Breeze, he's got the head. He just doesn't have the arm strength to go deep anymore or get the zip that you need on it.
Mm.
And he's lucky that he's got the best receiver in the game at the minute on his team, you know?
Yeah. Who definitely helps the stats kind of bump up a little bit, just the fact that the man catches absolutely everything. Before we move on to Super Bowl, like, what's your thoughts on the AB situation?
You know, I was just talking to someone about it yesterday, or this morning, actually. I was like, in the space of the year, this guy's gone from having like a $60 to $60 million guaranteed contract to being a free agent, or to being let go, to go to the Patriots, to being let go, to being in a court appearance with a suicide vest on him.
Crazy.
It's fucking mad.
Yeah.
You know, like, and again, I said, I think he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like him.
He's done some awful shit, yeah.
And I can't blame it all on his head. Like, the hit, the perfect. Yeah, like, I see a lot of people blame perfect for the hit or whatever, but, like, you just think, what the hell? Like, how did Tomlin keep this guy sane for so many years?
Unreal. And the Rooney's probably as well, trying to keep him under wraps a little
bit. But it's just, again, I would like to say it is terrible to see, but then you see the videos of him calling the police all sorts of names and the mother of his kids and all this shit. And you're like, he's being recorded. So who the hell are you hanging out with that's letting you do this?
Far too many yes men. Like, he just needs to get rid of, you know, they're all his fucking mates that are hanging around and
again,
free AB and all this bollocks.
Again, I haven't watched it yet, the Aaron Hernandez documentary, but we listened to the Boston Globe's podcast on it. And it was just like,
he was posted on the podcast, by the way. He never fucking got back to me on the email.
Oh, he did? Yeah. But then,
have to drop him another one.
Is what they said, like, one of the worst things that happened to him was he got drafted by the Patriots.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if he'd been sent out to the West Coast or somewhere where these people weren't near.
Near him, yeah.
You don't know, you know.
Remember, like, that, the part that bothered me was Urban Meyer. Because surely they spoke to Urban Meyer and they asked about, like, what he was like in college. Mm-hmm. But the part that bothered me was they have a small bit. It's like a small clip from a HBO documentary. I don't know if it's about Aaron Hernandez specifically. It could have been about the Florida football program. And Urban Meyer sitting there, he's like, we always had to be on alert anytime Aaron went home to his old neighborhood, because he knew, like, all his mates were there and he knew he could get into trouble, and sometimes he did. So why the fuck was that information not relayed to Bill? Or
it could have been,
or they just refused to kind of
take it
too seriously. Like,
you see some teams are just like, we can handle it for a Super Bowl or we can handle it for whatever, but again, it just went so wrong in his scenario. And again, it just, like, well, he was always trying to prove himself to his dad. And then the dad died from a simple routine
operation. I think that was the spiral start.
And then that's
there,
just when he went down, he had no father figure, so.
Do you know who one of his neighbors was when all the shit went down? In North Attleboro?
No.
Joe Judge, the New York Giants head coach.
Was he?
Lived down the road from him, yeah. He was, like, named on some of the documents and stuff. I was like, oh, great. That's the fucking Giants. That's the new Giants head coach there. He's putting together a tasty... What do you think of some of the hires? He's kind of putting together a little...
You came across with your little fucking NFL insider texting me a week before Freddie Kitchens got hired. So Kitchens is getting hired. And I'm like...
Where the fuck did you hear that from?
I missed something here. You're like, we're letting Eli retire and get all the glory. And then here he is, tight ends coach.
Yeah.
What a fucking drop from him, from being a head offensive coordinator to a head coach to a tight ends coach.
Yeah, because he's gone up and then drastically back down again.
Yeah.
Because he was a tight ends coach at Arizona as well for a while. So, yeah, he's dropped off a little bit. Who knows, though, if he works well with Ingram.
But it's interesting,
whoever,
because you brought him in, right? You brought Jason Garrett in, who hasn't called plays in like 3 or 4 years. So that's going to be for him to get back to try and figure it out. Did you bring in a defensive coordinator? Or is that still out there?
Yes, the defensive coordinator. His name has slipped my mind, but he was the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, he was.
Defensive coordinator last
year. Yeah, he was,
Just can't fucking remember his name now off the top of
my head. Yeah, I remember. It's just, why did Brian Flores let him go? You know, like, he was only there for a year, and they're trying to get something back, and he willingly let him go, you know, so.
He's brought in one or two former, the running backs coach now is a former Alabama running back coach when Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram was there. He's brought one or two of our Patriot guys in.
It's a tasty little division this year.
I'm not, obviously, you know, I can never really get any hopes up as a Giants fan, but, like, you have to be impressed that, like, you look at the resumes of a lot of the guys he's brought in, like, they're all Saban or, like, Bill Belichick, like, that comes with a bit of fucking respect. They know how to win. Just, can they bring...
Well, the Giants have the talent there. They just didn't do it.
They just need
they need work on their defense.
Yeah.
Because I think they're off... Oh, well, an offensive tackle, so...
Hopefully they'll
keep the QB up and stop the fumbling.
Exactly. Right, we'll have a quick break and then we'll move on to Super Bowl 54 preview. So before we get into our game preview... It all comes down to this. Super Bowl 54, the granddaddy of them all. Who's going to be hoisting the trophy and spraying the champers when it's all said and done? Will it be the 49ers or will it be the Chiefs? And you think fantasy football is over, but it's not. We play fantasy football all the way up to the Super Bowl and maybe beyond. Keep your ears
open for perhaps future announcements on other football platforms. I'm not going to say any more than that. But their season will end on a winning note, and yours can as well. It's your last chance to play NFL fantasy football until next season with DraftKings, the official, they actually have their logo beside the NFL now, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. It's a little bit different, but it is simple. You draft six players from Super Bowl 54. Now, bear in mind, that can be a defense. So you can't pick an individual defensive player. You can just pick the defense as a whole. Stay under the normal salary cap of 50K. See how your team stacks up against me and the boys in our weekly Paddy Pigskin League, which just a shade under 100 members. Maybe we can get there before the end of the week. New users who sign up today on DraftKings using code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, will receive a free shot at the $1 million. Free shot at it. $1 million top prize. So get in on Super Bowl 54 action. Download the DraftKings app now or use any of your internet browsers. So whatever you use, Safari, Chrome, Jesus, Mozilla, even Internet Explorer. And you can enter code Paddy during your sign up in the promo code field. That will get you that free entry, and it'll also allow you to join our private league as well. So for a limited time, all new users get that free shot again at the $1 million with code Paddy on your first deposit. Only at DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Right, we're moving on to our Super Bowl 54 preview. I've just realised I put mate way too much fucking water in this thing. It's only supposed to be a little dribble. It's watered down to fuck. Thankfully, it's not an expensive whiskey, so I don't really give a bollocks. Just some of the details. I'm always interested to see, like, just there's so many details that go into the Super Bowl. It's not your average game, obviously. The obvious 13-3 Niners, number one seed in the NFC. 12-4 Chiefs, number two seed in the AFC. It's just mad, like, what that touchdown from Ryan Fitz to Mike Gesicki did. When you actually think about, like, the dominoes, like, by them losing, they got knocked out of having a week off.
The Patriots?
Yeah. They, like, went into the.
Think about that tackle that the Niners made against the Seahawks at the goal line. True. They went from being the fifth to the first.
Yeah, like that, yeah. You know? It's really crazy. Isn't like, you know, we say it is a game of inches, and there's like two examples there where an inch or two either way, the other way, and like everything can be so much different. Sunday, February 2nd, 6:30. Do you remember when we used to have to watch Super Bowls at ungodly hours? Because it's a 11:30 in Ireland.
Depressing it is.
When you're out on the gargoyle with your football team, like...
it's good crack.
It's good crack.
You got to take the day off work the next day, though.
It's a fucking long old day. Especially, like, I have some of the parties that are going on in Ireland listed later on that I'll give a quick shout out to. But, you know, when you're, like, involved in the setup and, you know, you used to throw on
the pads. It starts at 10. Most places coverage times. I remember when I used to do the promotion outside with the pads on, you're getting there at like 7:38.
And then you're in the pads in a fucking hot bar or nightclub or whatever. Like, I wasn't jacked enough. So I was never picked to do the pads, but you had to do them a few times. Like,
but I wasn't jacked. I was just more.
Be your big guy wearing black, you know.
I usually stood on the door, you know. I was like, fuck staying inside. I'm on the door.
Not in them shoes.
But
it is. It's a long night. Like, especially when the Niners, the last time the Niners were in the Super Bowl, how long was that?
7 years, wasn't it?
I remember, like, the halftime was, an hour or an hour and a half long because of the
light.
Power went out.
Yeah, that was in New Orleans.
New Orleans, that's right.
7 years ago. But then it was the fucking, was it last year or the year before the Super Bowl was out in the Niners stadium?
Was it last year?
I think it was like last year or the year before. No, it wasn't the year before because the year before was Minneapolis. It must have been last year.
And then, when was it in? Was it not in the Falcon Stadium last year? Or is it next year? Jesus, I'm getting them all fucking mixed up here.
Yeah.
While you're looking that up, I'll go through some more of the details. So it's in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. It's on Fox. So you got Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
You know who's doing the national anthem?
Oh, I fucking heard this. No, I can't remember.
Probably seen her on fucking Celeb Jihad there a few months ago.
Oh, hello.
Demi Lovato.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Halftime.
Oh, it's Shakira and J-Lo.
Yeah. Cost of a 30-second commercial. Give me a ballpark figure, just to see.
Well, here's the thing, because I was going to bring something up for this, so I don't know how long the commercial I'm going to talk about is, but 3 million? 4 million?
5.6 million.
So that guy's advert mustn't be long, but I heard on the radio this morning, there was this guy, I can't think of his name, and he had a business, massive business, and he also created a sideline business, which was cat bowls and dog bowls of highline quality.
Okay.
And in the advert last year, he had his dog in it.
Yeah.
And not long after that, his dog got cancer. He brought him to the University of Wisconsin Medicine School for veterinarian or whatever, and the dog had like a 1% chance to live. Jesus. And whatever treatment they give it, like, literally shrunk the tumor that the cancer's gone.
Unreal.
And so he's got a new advert out this Super Bowl, features his dog that survived, like, giving thanks to the school and the veterinarians. Wow. Cost him $6 million for this advert. Wow. Now, I think he asked for the money to be donated to like the school, and then obviously the person I was with, like, why couldn't he just give the $6 million to the episode? And I'm like, well, he gives them $6 million, this advert's going to be played in front of 300 million and a worldwide audience. You know, so in the long run, it could be a lot better for them.
That is literally my favorite, like, that's my dream ad about kicking cancer in the arse and dogs. Like, what more could I personally ask for? Did you find that out?
I'm still going here.
The betting, by the way, over under 54.5. And as you can imagine, it's razor thin. The Chiefs right now are 1-point favourites. So expecting a high-scoring game. Anytime it's in the 50s, it's kind of considered a high-scoring game.
Super Bowl 50. Who played in it?
Super Bowl 50. So we're on...
That's 2016.
2016 was... Hang on a sec. So last year, Pats, then Pats and Eagles... So that would have been 2000. Jesus, me fucking dates are all over the place. 2016, so I was living here. It was Broncos and Panthers.
Yeah, there you go.
Just trying to think.
Like, so that was the last that was the last one I watched.
The only one that Rebels didn't have the Pats in, like, yeah. And then the Broncos also played the Seahawks, but that was 2014, right? I think that was my last one, actually, in Ireland.
Before really?
I moved there. Is that what it was? 2014?
Oh, remember the first
snap, remember? It was like, clearly it was on four sound, and Peyton said something, and the fucking centre snapped the clean over his head. First play of the game. I think that was my last one before I moved over here. So that would have been 2014, wasn't it?
Really? I think
it was the Seahawks. Anyway, we'll get to the game. So, yeah, most explosive offence. One of the most explosive offences against one of the stingiest defenses. Chiefs offensively sixth overall. They score about 28 points a game, 281 yards passing, which is good for fifth. Rushing, not as good, 91.1. A bit of an underrated rushing attack. They get just under 100 yards a game. And then the Niners defense, second overall, 17.8 points given up a game, first in passing, 17th in rushing. So they're both kind of middle of the table when it comes to rushing. Thoughts, knee-jerk reactions, but how do you see it going?
I've been torn all week.
Tough one, isn't it?
You know, I want the Chiefs to win just for the Andy Reid factor. The Hall of Fame coach just hasn't won the big one yet. I think this will really seal his fate for all the doubters over there. I don't believe that he's Hall of Fame coach.
I think I read there that he's the most winningest coach of all time to not win a Super Bowl. I think I saw there during
the week. Right. He's a head coach in the NFL for over 20 years now. You know,
since 2005, the Eagles and the Pats.
I've been told he's paid the price with stuff happening in his family, with his kids and fucking addictions and stuff.
I'd say so, yeah.
So I really want them to win it, but I just, the Niners, man.
they just have something about them this year, right?
They're just, oh, I don't know, they're just stingy on defense. They're big, they're mean. Like, and they will do whatever way they want to win. Like, be it pass the ball around, they'll pass the ball around, or just run the ball. And we don't need to pass the ball at all.
Yeah.
And they've just accumulated so much talent there. And Shanahan can just take third or fourth round picks and just turn them into ballers.
Mm. They really have, like...
But then you say that, but then the Chiefs also, like Andy Reid and his guys, just somehow get people in their third, fourth, fifth round that just have a lightning speed and can catch a football.
Yeah, because they got, I think Hardiman, they got him in the second round.
Mecole Hardman?
Yeah. Check he's a rookie as well, I think.
Yeah.
Second or third round. But yeah, they have like, and even Sammy Watkins now is starting to kind of come back into the fold and show what made him a fourth round pick many years ago by the Bills. But like just the way they go about things are so different. Like the Niners have relied so heavily on the run game. And Mostert, like it's kind of a cool story. He's bounced around the league, like was getting cut by all these teams. He got onto the 49ers. He was probably just going to play special teams. Jarrett McKinnon went down again.
Mm-hmm.
Then like Coleman had his injuries. Breda wasn't really blowing everybody away. He got his chance and he just fucking took it and ran with it.
Literally.
No pun intended. Like he just... It's one of those cool stories where a guy that has just really felt like he wasn't going to do anything in the league just somehow found a way and took it all the way to the top. So, but like on the quarterback side of things, like Jimmy G hasn't really had to do much at all. Like what was he, 6 of 8 in the last game?
Yeah.
Then you have Mahomes who does everything. Like he can make all the throws, he can extend the play. You think you have him, you know, you think you have him corralled, it's like 3rd and 10 and he all of a sudden is able to get like a 15-20 yarder or even on 4th down, like that famous play last year, mm-hmm. he threw across his body to Tyreek Hill.
Well, that's like he Hill needs just, to like, keep the plays alive for them.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of their plays come from, again, like a lot like Russell Wilson's where not to the extent of Russell Wilson, but Patrick Mahomes will keep the play alive with his feet and find someone. Literally, the Seahawks play better when Russell Wilson has to run around and then find somebody that's not in the place where they should have been. But as you said about the Niners, like he was 6 of 8. Like they literally, Shanahan was like, we don't need to pass this. We don't need to be throwing the ball near your secondary.
Yeah.
We're just going to run it down your throat because you can't stop us. So we're just going to go ahead with it, you know. So the QB's not at risk of getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. The gaps were just there.
Control the clock. Yeah, and that is a big thing. Like, I'd say the holes are going to be there for whoever's running the ball. Like, the 49ers offensive line has been good for whoever is running, but just Mostert, for whatever reason, just has that little extra gear that once he finds the gaps, he's making... You know, players that normally would be a 5-yard gain are now becoming.
But I think
a
he was a college athletic star, was he as well?
Was he, yeah?
I think so. But then, this is the big thing, it's going to be tough because what do you do? You go 0-1 Patriots. You get the best show on turf, keep them off the field. It's all you got to do. You get the ball to start off, you just drag the fucking series out, get a touchdown, Chiefs get the ball, you get the ball back, you make a stop. You just drag it out, keep him on the bench. Run, pass, pass, run, pass. Whatever you want to do, that you keep Mahomes off the field.
Yeah.
For as long as, and then you get a 14-0 lead. That's not going to be the same as when the Texans or the Titans went up on you, like 17-7 or 24-0. The fucking Niners will just keep that ball and not give it back to you.
Like what you saw with the Packers, they were just like, right, well, we're up. We're already putting up 180 yards on the ground in the first half. We're just going to keep pounding it and control the clock and... Like John Lynch, I think we can both agree, John Lynch is finally, like all the time and effort and draft capital that he's put into the defensive line now is finally, like he must have had a vision. He's like, look, I'm going to be drafting defensive line studs over the next few years. Just get them all together, have a ferocious pass rush, and then everything else will fall.
Well, again, so is the regime before him took a couple of defensive line people.
Yeah.
And he's come in here and he said the same thing. He's got a coach that's an offensive genius. It is actually his dad on the staff as well.
Yeah.
Which
they
him.
Seem to cut to him all the time when he's in the stand. Like every time a big play, I go back to Coach Shanahan.
And he doesn't want to be coaching plays. He literally just reviews the footage and gives his notes on it to Kyle. But yeah, no,
he's making a few quid out of it.
He's making money out of it, you know. He just
he's not doing it for free.
He just doesn't have to have the ball ache of putting game plans in place and coaching players. But again, as you said, like the cream is coming to the top or whatever now with the squad they've put in place, and it just feels like the defense, Bosa was that linchpin that just brought it all together.
Yeah,
because he's taken up double teams and he's strong and he's fast,
And then you've got like that frees up room for the other boys, Armstead, Buckner. Like you look at it, their defensive line. If you take Solomon Thomas, who was a rotational guy, a defensive tackle, they've got 4 first-round picks since 2015 on their defensive line. Like you'd fucking want to be getting a good pass rush if you've invested so much into your defensive line, like first-round picks, you know.
But it will be interesting. The battles that may happen here, you know. I don't think Robert Saleh will change too much up from it. I think I've read something that they've literally installed their game plan before they came to Miami, and then it's just all about repetition. So again, as we discussed off air, like they pretty much play the Seattle Seahawks cover 3 zone. You don't want your defensive backs going man to man and your middle linebackers, whoever, going man-to-man, and Travis Kelce. You still want it because you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, but the hard thing is, which they probably will succeed in, is getting to Mahomes, because you can't give them time or they will tear your zone apart.
Yeah.
And I think that's just going to be like Joey Bosa. They're just going to fucking take the leash off him and say, go whatever you want, kid.
Let the big doggy. Like, if I was Andy Reid in his shoes, I'm like, okay, we know they have a ferocious pass rush. We know they play... mainly a cover 3 defensive scheme on the back end. Like, how can we exploit this? If I was him, I'd be looking at get the ball out fast. That's a no-brainer. Utilize the screen game, because if you're getting like quick screens out to, you know, your running backs are also a wide receiver, like a jailbreak screen, you give that ball to fucking Tyreek Hill and he has a 10-yard or whatever 7-yard head start on the DB. Like, if he's come back downhill 1 yard, that DB has to come up and make that play. Or even, you know, they don't even have to be screens. Stand up pitch or a fucking slant.
But they literally
take that to the house.
Have to start from the get-go. They cannot do what they did the last two games where they've gone down 17-7 or 24-0.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be on the ball from the get-go.
Yeah.
And again, you might have to use Travis Kelce or use a 2 tight end set to pick Bosa, block him at the line as well, chip him just to slow him up from coming through. I think I'll see a lot of stunts from the Niners. I think Bosa is going to cut inside a lot.
Yeah.
Just wreak havoc in the middle.
Yeah.
And chase.
Kelce isn't the best. Kelce wouldn't be the best blocker. Like, out of him and Kittle, like, I'd take Kittle in the blocking
game. Kittle takes pleasure in blocking.
Oh, he loves it.
It's, you hear even the receivers and the Kittle and the other tight ends talk about blocking, whereas you're like, they're not like these receivers that are talking about, hey, I need to get my fucking 10 catches a game and I need to do this. That game plan last week or 2 weeks ago against the Packers was like, you're going to be fucking blocking most of this game. Yeah. Only 3-8 passes. And
he's grand.
Debo Samuel just come, big guy, just fucking running DBs over. Same as Kittle, just killing guys, you know. Kittle had one catch, like.
Kittle, to quote Gronk, threw him out the club. Like, yeah. Kittle will throw fuckers out of the club all night long. Like, he has that, it's that hilarious, like, little psychoness to him, you know, where he's, like, laughing as he's just absolutely pancaking some fucker. But, yeah, definitely, like, controlling the line of scrimmage there, just grinding out the clock, running the ball all day long.
I would love to see this defensive line against the Cowboys line of, like, 3 years ago when they were just, the whole line was an all-pro line.
Yeah.
I would love to see that battle.
Yeah. And we do know Spags has had a history winning Super Bowls by dialing up pressure, like famously when he was the Giants defensive coordinator on Brady. Like, you know, he loves to blitz. So if I'm him, I'm like, get the ball in Jimmy G's hands. Like, I'd rather, like, because we haven't really seen Jimmy G carve up anything yet in the playoffs. So he'll want to nullify, you know, the easy option would be stop on first and second down, force the third down throw from Jimmy G, and then just fucking bring the house. Like, I know it's easier said than done, but like, they're going to want to force Jimmy G to beat them over the top as opposed to, you know, laying down like the Packers for 280 rushing yards or whatever. Do you think Tyreek Hill can expose the cover 3? He's just so explosive. Like,
he is, but then do you double him, you know, and you just make him a non-effective and you go, if you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me with Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been all-time great all year.
He's starting to heat up a little bit now.
But they're going to go, you're going to beat me with the players that aren't as good as Tyreek Hill or as fast as Tyreek Hill.
I'm actually tempted to do a little cheeky punt on Sammy Watkins as MVP. I'm riding a hot streak out there with Julian Edelman last year, 23-1. Why not?
It's always hard though, because isn't this error? It just always seems to go to the QB at times, you know? It's just like, well,
Edelman was the first wide receiver to win us since Santonio Holmes with that catch against the Cardinals. It's like, it's very, very rare. But the reason I made that pick was it made sense because fucking Robbie Coleman was talking shit all week long. And I was like, here we go. Edelman's going to eat this fucker up. And he did in the end. But it also was that Brady didn't really have a good game. He just kept throwing the ball to Edelman and Edelman kept catching it. But I think I saw like Watkins is, I think it was like 40 to 1 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, something like, maybe even more. Might be worth a cheeky little fiver or something. Anyway, we'll all boil it down to, who do you think is going to win? I know you said earlier on, I haven't swayed your opinion. You're going Niners. Score are you going to go with?
Yeah, I'm so torn because like everybody thought last year was just going to be a fucking shootout with the Rams.
Yeah.
The Patriots just dragged them.
Quite boring offensively, yeah.
But I think that like there's two ways to look at it. It's back and forth, back and forth. Like the Patriots Eagles that time, or literally the Niners just get the lead and never give up. 35-17 Niners.
35-17? Wow.
I think so, yeah. I think they
18 points. So you think they're just going to get the lead and go with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Chiefs are going to be playing from behind and they're just going to have to keep throwing. Fair unfortunately.
Enough. I'm going 31-27. I'm going with the more like the safer option, kind of close to the over-under and also close to the spread. I just think if it comes to it's a shootout where it's scoring quick, I just don't know if Jimmy G has it in his locker where he's able to, you know, drive the field passing quickly to keep up with Mahomes. Like, we know Mahomes can do it, but like, can Jimmy G, you know, score in a 3 or 4 minute drive when it comes down to it? I just don't know if he can do that. So, but to back you up, like, if they can control the clock, yeah, it's absolutely possible that they can do it. I did mention I was gonna give a few of the Super Bowl parties in Ireland a shout out, which I've never done before, but I just saw the Irish American Football Association had it on their Facebook page, so I thought, why not? Obviously going to start off with the Dublin Rebels party for obvious reasons, because they're giving away, this is a fucking crazy prize, man, 2 Super Bowl 55 tickets. So next year, which is in Tampa next year, I think, isn't it? Raymond James Stadium.
Yep.
So if you're going to the Dublin Rebels Super Bowl party, your ticket in there will also enter into a draw for Super Bowl 55 tickets. That is a mad prize.
Because as we know,
the fucking price of them tickets is
ridiculous.
Absolutely outrageous. So the Rebels are in the Odeon, which is top of Harcourt Street, Odeon.
Yep.
Yep.
Great little spot.
It's actually going to be interesting because there's 3 parties going on very close together. Maybe we can get a few Oklahoma drills going on Harcourt Street, get them on video. Because the Panthers, the South Dublin Panthers, they're nearby in the Camden, which is on Camden Street, obviously.
Already tipped the Rebels to win that Oklahoma drill. So.
The Rhinos, they're in their traditional wool shed.
Yeah.
They've got Cecil Martin at their party. Did you see that?
Did they?
Big Cecil showing up, yeah.
Jesus.
How'd
that happen?
I think they just paid him a shitload of money. Maybe the wool shed did. UCD, they are on Harcourt Street in D2. Do you remember D2?
Literally next door.
Yeah, literally
next door. You throw a chair.
And Trinity, they're in the River Bar, which I actually don't. Do you know where the River Bar is? Wherever River Bar is, that's where Trinity are having their party. We'll move up north in Belfast. The Trojans are having theirs in the Wellington Park Hotel. The Cowboys, Air Bar and Craigavon, and the Jets, I think it's called Rococo or Rococo in Antrim, is where their party is. Couldn't find any party details for the Vipers, who have a party but doesn't say where it is, which isn't fucking helpful. And I don't think the Belfast Knights seem to be having a party. They're probably just having a private get-together.
Mm-hmm.
Out to the west, Galway Warriors, Galmont Hotel is where their party's in. And then down into Munster, we got the Admirals are in the East Village Bar. And the Vikings are in Flannery's, which I think is Jerry Flannery, the former Munster player. I think he owns that bar. I think.
The kind of surname, I suppose. Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'm sure one of the Vikings, if any of the Vikings listen to this podcast,
the Flannery's I know is on Dublin.
They can correct me if I'm wrong there. So get out and watch wherever you're living, wherever your local party is. Get out and watch, because these parties are big fundraisers for football teams. Like, you know, we were involved with the Rebels. Like, it was a big source of income, because playing a full season in a minority sport in American football in Ireland costs a lot of money, and, you know, we're not fucking professional football teams, so
yeah.
It costs a lot of money to keep 30, 40 guys going throughout the year and all the different expenses. So these Super Bowl parties go a long way in helping the guys stay above water for the season. So get out and support your local team and go to one of their Super Bowl parties. So that's it. You've got Niners, I've got Chiefs. Nice split down the middle. We'll have the graphic up on Sunday. We'll ask the rest of the lads who they have. May the best man win. Maybe we'll do some sort of small little wager or something like that.
Possibly.
Non-financially, possibly. Something like shave an eyebrow off or some shit like that. Right, it's getting late here now.
Yeah, it is. It
took a while to get going. Fucking could microphone go, not working as usual. So
I go creeping. Isla Fisher.
Isla Fisher shooting a movie down the street. Godmother, it's called. I don't know when it's out, but it's a Christmas movie, so they've got a lot of funny, like, they have to have fake snow in Boston in January when it's normally fucking covered in snow, but that's just the way it goes sometimes. Right, we'll leave it at that for episode 67 of Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. Tune in next time, where, as always, we will have less slant and more slant it. Take care. Trying to cash his microphone, check 212. Wanna believe my own hype, but it's too untrue. The world brought me to my knees, what if you brung you? Did you improve on the design, did you do something new? Where you naming on the guest list, who brung you? You, the more famous person you come through. And the sexy lady next to you, you come too. And then the hitman, standing outside of heaven, waiting for God to come and get me. I'm too uncouth, unschooled to the rules, and too gumshoe. Too much of a newcomer and too uncool. Like Shadow and LaVille, I battle with it well. Though I need a holiday like Lady Who Sung Blue. Go back, whatever you did, you undo. Heavy as heaven, the devil owe me 2 tons too. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, 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 yeah. And you better wear your shades. Spotlights here can burn holes through the stage, down through the basement, past the Indian graves where the dinosaurs laid, and out through China, nearly misses airliners, magnified times five. This is pointed at the rhyme, ricochets off the moon and sets the forest ablaze. Now that's important to say, cause even with all that, most of us don't want it to fade. Duh. We want it to breed, meaning we want it to grow, meaning we want it to stay. Like the governor called and he told him to wait, unstrap him from the chair and put him back in his cage. The audience ain't fazed, then they ain't gon' clap and they ain't gon' praise. They want everything back that they paid, cause they've been waiting since 10 to see the lights get dim. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd is here and the lights are on, and they wanna show. Oh, 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 yeah. So chauffeur, come and take me away, cause I've been standing in this line for like 5 whole days. Me and security ain't getting along, and when I got to the front, they told me all of the tickets were gone. So just take me home where the mood is mellow, and the roses are thrown, M&Ms are yellow, and the light bulbs around my mirror don't flicker. Everybody gets a nice autographed picture, one for you and one for your sister, who had to work tonight but is an avid listener. Every song's a favorite song and mics don't feedback. All the reviewers say you need to go and see that. And everybody claps cause everybody is pleased, and then they all take the stage and start performing for me. Like ha 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 ha, ha 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 ha. If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here and the microphones, and they won't. If you are what you say.